kind and precious Lord, we just praise you and we give honor and glory unto thee this day. We thank you, Lord, and we invite you in our meeting. We invite you in our midst, Lord, that you would overrule and rule in all things, that you open our eyes that we might see and our ears that we might hear, our hearts, Lord, that we might receive. Bless those that are gathered throughout the world and listening to this broadcast this day. Bless those in this room, Lord, that they might also be filled and grow in thee and feel thy spirit. Lord, attend to our hearts, that we might not just be hearers of the word, but doers of the word. We say and we ask it all in the holy, the precious name of our Lord, Jesus the very Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Well, indeed, I do welcome all of you this morning. This is a semi-new experience for me. I'm not used to broadcasting on the computer. I used to preach on the radio with regularity for several years, but we'll try it on this. Terry asked a couple of questions in his lesson. One is, says, do we believe God? Do we believe what he says? I wrote it down. Another question, he says, do we hold back that which is given? And he said that from the 48th message, verse 8. And let's read that just for a minute. It says, thus saith the Lord. Who's speaking? The Lord. Those that have robbed the widow and the fatherless have robbed me. And many suffer in darkness, not knowing my will, not knowing the Lord's will. Because there are those that shorten their hand, not rendering that which I require of them.
Amen.
I was reminded when he was teaching on that out of the book of Hosea in the Bible, in the fourth chapter, in the sixth and seventh verse, it said, my people are destroyed. Whose people? God's people. That includes the widows, the orphans. Are we not all his children? My people are destroyed. Why? Because thou, because he's speaking to the ministry. He says, because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of my God. I will also forget my children. You see, as they were increased, and when I think about increased, I think about that word a lot. We live in a world today, if you travel to third world countries, where people eat maybe in a week what people in our country eat in a day. Where they live on in a year what we live on in a month. As they are increased, so sinned against me. Therefore will I change their glory into shame. You see, they were robbing from the people, the priests were. You say, how were they robbing? Mm-hmm. And so oftentimes we always think of tithes. Mm-hmm. Or at least I do. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to take a little different turn, because God asked me to take a turn this morning for you to consider, for you to think about robbing the people. The Articles in Faith and Practice, which all of us say we believe in, it says in verse 13, we believe in the same church organization that existed in the time of Christ and his apostles. The highest office in the church is that of an apostle, of whom there are 12. Listen to the wording now. Who constitute a special witness for Jesus Christ. In other words, they've been given something, or should have been given something. They have missionary supervision and watch care over all the churches. Then it says the primary, that means first. That's over anything else. These are the words of God. They aren't my words. They aren't the words of men. the words of God. The primary function of the general church, of which each local church is a component part, is missionary and building up in the extension in the kingdom of God in all the world. This morning I want to talk to you about withholding from the fatherless and from the children. I want to talk to you about what the kingdom of God is. I'd like to talk to you to your heart, and the Lord would like to reach you. He wants to talk to you today. He wants to open your eyes that you might see. He wants to remove the cataracts. He wants to remove the things that really are withholding you from doing what God has already given you. And I'd like you to open to the Gospel of Luke. And we'll go to the 10th chapter in the Gospel of Luke. And I want you to not just listen. I want you to open your hearts. I want you to take just a moment before we begin. I want you to open your hearts to God. He's present. He promised He would be. He said, where two or more gathered in His name, He will be there also. So He's present with you. He's right there as you're sitting here. You may not be able to touch Him. You may not even be able to feel Him at this moment. But He's there.
Amen.
Don't doubt it.
Yes.
God is there.
Amen.
He's right in this room with you as we speak. God in the form of Christ had gathered unto Him 70 people in the Gospel of Luke in the 10th chapter. And it begins in verse 1, after these things the Lord anointed other 70, and He sent them out two by two. You notice He didn't send them alone. So many times I hear people, well, I need to go here, I need to, I. Let's get rid of the word I. We. What do we need to do? Yes, Paul did go out alone sometimes. And he always ended up taking people with him once he got out. But let's read a little further. He sent them out two by two before His face into every city and every place whether He Himself would come. In other words, He sent them where He would go. Christ sent them where He knew the need was. But do we recognize the need today? Do we really recognize the need? Interesting comment right now. For those of us that farm, or those of us that have ever planted a crop or done anything, sometimes, you know, you break the ground. That's very necessary. And after you break the ground, you plant the seed, and then you take the weeds away. And then the crop begins to grow, doesn't it? What happens if you try to harvest before it's ready? You get nothing, or you spoil the crop. But once the crop is ready, what happens if you do not harvest it? It'll spoil, it'll rot. And Christ said unto them, verse 2, therefore He said unto them, the harvest is truly great. It's now. It's not something we can afford to wait on. And there's lots of excuses to wait on. Lack of money. Lack of people. Too much danger. There's a million excuses. Some had to marry, some had to bury. Some had to go plant a field. But He said, the harvest is now. It's truly great. But the laborers, they're few. Pray you, therefore, the Lord of harvest, that He would send forth the laborers into His harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among the wolves. Did He send them out to safe places? I was small at that. Did He send them out to places that were comfortable and nice? They got to ride in their limo, or they got to wear the finest clothes and put on the nicest ties, and just were they comforted in every way? Or did He send them forth in places where people wanted to kill them? Where did God send His servants? Where did He send them? Did he send them places you and I would choose that were easy? Did he send them places that everybody was just, oh, hallelujah, we're so happy you're here? Or did he say he sent them forth among the wolves? You read Christ's words, not mine. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among the wolves. Carry neither purse nor scrip for your shoes. Salute no man by the way. Verse 5. And into whatever house you enter, first say, peace be unto this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, in other words, if the Spirit of God is there, let your peace rest upon it. If not, be sure it returns to you again. Amen. Verse 7. And in that same house remain. Remain how? Eating and drinking the things they give. For those of us and for those that travel in foreign nations that are foreign to us, they're not foreign to God. They're all part of His house.
Amen.
I always smile when people say, well, Brother Lyles or Brother Larry or whoever, you go to foreign nations. Foreign to who? They're not foreign to anybody. It's part of God's house. Does it look different? Of course it does. The mountains look different than the plains. Black looks different than white. Brown looks different than black. Some people speak different languages. Abadiako? Missouri Sana? Ambu Long? Yes, we do speak different languages. But we worship the same God. We serve the same Lord. And I want you to think about something very deeply. If God sends you out to do something, does He not prepare the way? Has He not given you everything you need? You say, but we can't go without having money. Well, you better go back up and read the verse where it says, don't worry about that. He didn't say worry about money. Where in the gospel does it say, go worry about the money? It says, I told you to go. You say, but that's foolishness. That's foolishness. We've got to worry about money. It's a reality. We've got to worry about food. It's a reality. We've got to worry about danger. It's a reality. We've got to worry about travel. It's a reality. We've got to worry about what? Does it not all belong to God? Does it not all belong to Him? Wherein did Christ say to worry? Instead, He said, go. And in that same house remain, eating and drinking the things they give. Well, what if they don't give anything? Well, then you don't have anything. It's that simple. God will sustain you without. I know that feeling well. I don't speak of something I don't know. God does take care of us. For the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from the house to house. And whatsoever city you enter, verse 8, and they receive you, eat such things that are put before you. You never know, you might find something you like. And then he said of something interesting. I don't know if you've ever considered the depth of what he said in the next verse. Remember, he sent 70 out. Told them, take no money. Don't worry about that. Don't take a coat. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about whether they're trying to kill you or not, because I already told you they're going to kill you. But he said, heal the sick that are therein. Now, how are you supposed to heal if you haven't been given anything? God isn't going to send you out without the ability to heal and to cast out demons. He's simply not going to do that. Do we recognize that? Do we really recognize that? He said something interesting, the same thing he said with the very first sermon Christ ever preached. He said, the kingdom of God is come unto you now. It's not something you're waiting on. It's not something the greater power is going to come some far time in the distant future, maybe 1,000 years from now. 2,000 years ago he walked upon the earth, and the very first sermon he preached, he says, the kingdom of heaven is now. It's not something you're waiting on. It's now. It's here. Let's skip down to verse 17. Now I want you to think about the 70. Were these well-trained ministers? Were these men that had gone to different seminaries, highly educated men, great speakers, men of great stature, the finest dress? What kind of men were they? What were these men? Let's say fishermen, tax collectors, politicians? Yes. Were they intelligent men? Some. Were they? Yes. They all had one thing in common. They were willing of themselves to do the word of God. They were obedient. And when they came back, I want you to notice something very special. They came back and they were really excited. They had gone out and God had sent them out. He'd sent them to go do his work. And they came back just filled with joy. It says the 70 returned again with joy, saying unto the Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Not subject through their power, but through the name of Christ. Even the devils were subject. And yes, we did cast out devils. And people were excited. Oh, wow. Man, the devil is even subject to these men. And he said unto them, I want you to notice how God answered them. Jesus said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Now here were these men saying, we prayed and we cast out demons. And God says, saying, wow, you men did a fantastic job. That was so impressive. Instead he said, I saw. He was reminding them what he saw from the very beginning. He said, I saw Satan fall from heaven. He was there. Christ was there when Satan fell from heaven. He knew the power he had over the devil. He knew the power he had over the world. And he had given it to men. Do we realize that? He had given it to men. Now, you remember my brother Terry, he asked an interesting question this morning. Most of us missed it. Do we believe God? Do we hold back what we've been given? I believe that was given in the 48th message. Brother Terry, what year was that? Please help me.
1940.
Terry, I wasn't even born in 1940.
June 17th.
I was born in 1946, which makes me 28 or thereabouts. Think about it for a minute. God himself, had witnessed the fall of Satan, and he had power over him, and he said, I give that unto you. Now go you forth among the people. Verse 19. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, over power over the enemy. Nothing by any means shall hurt you. That's a pretty powerful statement. But if you have a Bible, I want you to mark verse 20. I really do. I want you to take special note in your Bible. Please, everybody that hears my voice, I want you to take special note of verse 20. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not. Mm-hmm. Don't rejoice that you've been given power. Don't rejoice in that. The power belongs to God. He just loaned it to you. It's not yours. He said, don't rejoice in that. Instead, he said, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names have been written in heaven. Amen. We think about reward. I work right when I'm in country. I work in the oil patch, and they pay us reasonably well, and it's a difficult job. At times it's fairly risky. We work under some rather harsh conditions at times. I have a third of a heart. I'm older than any men I work with. God gives me the power to work there. It isn't power I possess. It's not power I have. God gave me the ability to do that. He gave me the strength to do it. When young men quit with less, that doesn't mean I'm powerful. I know where my source of power comes from. It's from God. Do we realize, as a body of believers, where our power comes from? Do we really understand it? Do we worry about maybe a dollar? Do we worry about maybe danger? Do we worry about how we're going to get there? Do we worry about maybe they won't listen to us? Or do we believe? Comes back to the same question he asked us in 1940. Do we believe that he's going to do this? Think about that for a few minutes. Do we really believe? And then we think about it a little deeper for a moment. Let's think about the widow and the orphan. Can we do that for a moment? Can we really think about the widow and orphan? And we say, well, we can give them money. We can give them food. Yes, we can. And the next day, they're going to need it again. Are they not? If you come to a poor man and you give him a loaf of bread, what are you going to have to do the next day? Are you going to have to give him another loaf of bread? What if you come to Terry works in a medical unit now. Terry, if you go to somebody that's sick, what do you give them? You give them medicine. Are they going to get sick again? If they're human, they're going to get sick again. Are they not? God brought me back from the brink of death. Does that mean I'm never going to die? Of course I'm going to pass from this earth, just like everybody in this room is going to pass from earth. Just like you're going to pass from earth. That's what God gave to us. But he also gave us victory over death, didn't he? Amen? Yeah. Amen? Now let's talk about the widow and orphan again for a moment. It says, have we robbed the widow and orphan? I think about what God said to the priests in Hosea. Think about that for a minute. Did he talk to them about money? Or did he talk to them about they've withheld knowledge from them? The knowledge of God. Where does power come from? Does it come from man? Does it come from silver and gold? Does it come from our great ability? Or does it come from God? Do we believe? That's really the question. That's the question Christ presented. If you look through all four Gospels and study them in depth, the first question he says, do you now believe? He said in the 16th chapter of the Gospel of Mark, do you now believe? And he asked it today, do we now believe? And believe me, it's hard to sit down and say, yes, I believe. I'm going to speak to you on a personal for a moment. Before I left on this last missionary journey, Arlene, that's my wife, we went to the cardiologist, and the cardiologist says, don't go, you're going to die. You're in the process of dying right now. You're foolish to go. Don't go. Either we believe God called Larry and I to go, or we don't. Which is it? Which is it? He said, at least until he's changed it, he said, let Norman and Larry cover the overseas. Either God knew what he was doing, or he didn't. He did the same thing with Brother Savage and Brother Fife. Let me see, Brother Savage and Brother Fife were what, in their 80s? Was God stupid? He had younger men he could have sent. He could have sent more muscular, more brilliant men. Brother Savage had a speech impediment. What, God didn't know what he was doing? Or did we not believe? What is the problem here? Is it something we doubt? Is God lacking? Or are we lacking in faith? Which is the real problem? Which is the real problem in our life? We say we believe, but we have the opportunity to give to the widow, to the orphan, eternal life. We can give them bread, we can give them food, we can give them money, or we can give them eternal life. Which is going to last? Which matters? We look at a world right now that even a person of the remotest intelligence can understand is rapidly coming to a close. We live in a world where there's nothing but horror and problems, and it's going to get worse. What do they need the most? Do they need salvation? Do they need political freedom? What do they need the most? They need Christ, brothers and sisters. That's what they need. Has taking the gospel to the world ever been easy? You better look again and read through the scriptures. Read through the record of Nephi. Read through the Bible. It's been done by a word called sacrifice. Look at verse 21. In that hour, you hear something that you don't read often in the scripture. I invite all of you to look it up on a Google search. Find how many times Christ rejoiced. When you guys have your next meeting, somebody come back and say, we found it. Here's how many times Christ rejoiced. Check it out. Find out how many times Christ rejoiced. It said, in that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and has revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, it seemed good. It seemed good in thy sight. It was good in thy sight. And Jesus rejoiced. Check it out. Find out how many times Jesus rejoiced. I challenge you. I challenge you. Take a little time today and see how many times Jesus rejoiced. You'll be shocked. And find out what he rejoiced about. Let us look into the word of the Lord brought to mankind by an angel. Message 13. That's fairly early. Excuse me. Message 13. It was delivered in 1929. That's a little while ago, isn't it? It's probably old and past and has nothing to do with today. I don't know why we're bothering to read it. But let's read it just because it's there to read. I come to you again, verse 1. Remember, there are and will be trying times. Interesting. God promised the men he sent out the same thing, didn't he? I'm going to send you out what? Everything's going to be easy and smooth and nice, and there's not going to be... Or did he say, I'm sending you out in trying times? There's all sorts of trying times. Several years ago, my wife and I were in state of Missouri, and everything was going reasonable well. I was building a house. We had bought some land. Things were, you know, really pretty good. And then my wife got cancer. And overnight, we went from being out of debt to being totally broke and maybe losing everything we had. And no way to pay my wife's bills. Do I understand trying times? I've lived a few. I'm sure each of you have. Remember, there will be trying times. And as these changes take place, the faith of the children of men will be tried. It's reasonably trying to take the gospel when things are difficult. It's reasonably difficult to go forth among men, to go forth among nations, to go forth among your neighbors when things are not easy. Because they are not used to the things that are. and that will take place. God didn't say maybe they will take place. He said they will take place. Remember, the Lord has said that a marvelous work and wonder is to come forth, which will be marvelous to all the people. And it will not be understood except by the Spirit of God from whence it came. Nobody will understand how it happened. You know, I was once buried in a mine. And when I was buried, there was no hope. I felt all the only thing I prayed for was my soul wouldn't go to hell. I wanted to get out, but there was no hope of getting out. There was no possibility of getting out. As far as I was concerned, I was buried forever. And that's where I was going to die, and that's how I was going to die. It's easy to believe when you have a glimmer of hope. It's difficult to believe when there is no hope. As I prayed, God simply spoke my name. He didn't say anything else. Just let me know He was there. He let me feel His Spirit. He let me feel His presence. And a peace came over me that I can't explain to this day. I felt total peace. I still buried. It was still dark. I still, by the knowledge of man, had no hope. But I felt total peace. Total peace. Turn to message 25. Please. In message 25, also an early message, 1931, verse 1, I have been sent to you from the Lord. Interesting words he said next had to do with withholding things from the widows and orphans. Withhold not the words of the Lord. Withhold not the words of the Lord from the inhabitants of the earth.
Yes.
Hearken and hear, you people.
Yes,
hear, you people. For the Lord has spoken to all nations.
Yes.
Let no one stand between you and your God, lest you betray the trust God has put upon you.
Yes.
He put the trust on the people He sent out. And He said, go and do this. He put the trust on the people He sent the messenger to and said, restore it. Bring it to the people. Verse 3, the Lord has sent me to warn the nations. And after this warning will come destruction, wars and pestilence and famine and earthquakes as has never been. For the Lord wants, He desires a holy people. He didn't ask us whether we thought it could be done. He said, do it. Do we believe God? Are we going to withhold it from the people that God desires that we give it to? Whose blood is going to be on our hands if we don't do it? What do we fear worse, going broke or losing our soul? Message 108. That's a lot further down the line. I just didn't want to deal in the early messages. Sometimes we think, well, the early messages are special. There's no doubt about what God said. In the later messages, well, maybe we can doubt those. The 108th message, verse 9. There is no other way but to heed His voice. There's no other way. It didn't say you can trust in anything but Him. Obey and trust His voice. I speak His will. I bring the message of life. The message of life? Well, what do you want to give to the widow and orphan? A loaf of bread? A glass of water? Maybe a little few coins? Maybe $1,000 bill? Or do you want to give them eternal life? What are we obligated to give to the world? What did Christ commission His church to do? What was the command? What was the primary purpose? What was the primary purpose of Christ coming to earth? Come on, children. What was the primary purpose of Christ coming to earth? Was it to make us wealthy, to make us intelligent, to make us kings and leaders? Or to bring salvation? The Jews rejected him. They rejected him because they could not believe that Christ would come and say the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and they wouldn't be leaders and successful. That's why they rejected him. Because they weren't leaders and successful and had all the money in the world. He said, no, I want you to go forth among the world. He said, oh, God wouldn't ask us to do that. No. He'd make us leaders first and make us famous. Then we'd go do it. No, he said, I'm going to send you forth as lambs among the wolves. They're going to hate you. They're going to want to kill you. But I'm sending you out to give them a message of life, speaking his words, not your words, his instructions, not your instructions. Hear all of mankind. How can they hear if we don't take it to them? They hear it through osmosis? Are we going to trust other people to give it to them? Somebody maybe hasn't heard the word. We'll trust them to give it to them. They've got more money. They've got more time. They've got more ability. Are we going to trust what God has given to us? Do we neglect the fact God gave us something? Do we really believe God gave it? Terry asked the question this morning. He challenged us. Whether we realize it or not, he challenged us. Do we believe God? Verse 11. People perish for the lack of knowledge to perform properly and progress rightly in the Lord. What is progress? What is performing properly? Let me see. Christ came to his apostles. He had been resurrected. He came and he gave them the Holy Spirit. 3,000 people were baptized in one day. Hallelujah. And then the next day, they went back to doing what everybody would figure they'd be doing. They went fishing. And we can read it in John chapter 21. And while they were out fishing, they'd fished all night. They hadn't caught anything. They hadn't caught anything because they weren't doing what Christ told them to do. And did Christ chew them out? No, he simply said, have you caught anything? Well, no, we haven't caught anything. He said, well, throw the net on the other side. So they did, and of course we all know the story. The net filled up. Peter recognized it was Christ, dove in the water, and swam over to Christ. Amen? Peter had all the excuses. He was a good fisherman. He knew how to fish. They needed fish. They needed to eat, didn't they? They didn't have anybody take the gospel to the world. And Christ defined it for them. And he's defining it for you this morning. Do you love me, Peter? Oh, yes, Lord. Lord, you know I love you, Lord. They continued eating. Do you love me, Peter? Lord, you know all things. You know I love you. Well, then, feed my sheep. You notice how every time Christ broke it down to the most basic factor. Do we love him? And if we love him, we prove it by what? By our actions, by feeding the sheep. Then he said, do you love me a third time? Peter was grieved because everybody in the room was looking at Peter. They all knew, oh gosh, Peter's messed up again. I know the feeling well. I've spent half my life messing up. All you folks are innocent, but I'm guilty. Because God has given me what I need to do the work. But I've always got an excuse. I've got to go to work. I've got a family. I've got a heart condition. I've got a million excuses. I know you people don't have them, but I do. I have them. And God asked me, do you love me? I know what it is to have God ask me, do you love me? I can't deny that, and I won't deny it. Do you love me, Norm? If you love me, then take the gospel. He didn't ask me if Daryl would approve or Terry would approve or Larry would approve or anybody else would approve. He said, Norm, I'm asking you, do you love me? He didn't ask you, Daryl. He didn't ask you, Ed. He asked me. He broke it down to the most simple form. Do I love him or don't I? He didn't ask any of you that. He asked me, do I love him? Will I do it? Will I be obedient to what he gave me? You notice I keep saying he gave me. I don't lack. I do not lack the ability to preach, nor do I lack the ability to teach, nor do I lack the ability to go. But do I believe him? Do I believe him? That isn't the question to you. Don't feel bad. Don't feel awkward. It's my question. Do I believe him? Will I be obedient to him? It isn't your question. It's not up to you. It's up to me. He has questions he'll ask you. That's your answer. You have to answer him. It's an individual thing. We have to answer the question. You can't answer it for me. I can't answer it for you. Do we believe? People perish for lack of knowledge to perform properly and progress in the Lord. Let us go to 114th message. 114th message. That's a little more recent. The 114th message was delivered in August 23rd, 1992. And let's look at verse 7. There cometh a day when the open door before you will close. There cometh before you a day when the open door before you will close. Are you ready? Are you ready for the consummation of all things? Bringing in the Lord's jewels, his elect ones. You notice how he worded that? Good morning, Brother Gary. Welcome. We're online right now. There cometh a day when the open door before you will close. Are you ready for the consummation of all things? And then he answered what you're supposed to be ready for. Are you bringing in the Lord's jewels, the elect ones, the honest of heart, making ready for the bride of Christ and his church, his Zion? 114 verse 7. Are we doing this? He defined to ask us, you know, he asked us, are we ready? We say, oh yes, Lord, hallelujah, I'm ready, I'm doing it, yes, Lord, I'm doing it, I'm doing it, I'm doing it. Good, then, where are the jewels you're bringing in? Where are the elect ones you're bringing in? Where have you done this? Where are you making ready the bride of Christ? There's a statue in England. During World War II, the Germans had come over and they'd bombed the heck out of England, and the English had gone and bombed the heck out of Europe. And there's a statue I went and I looked at it in London. It's a beautiful statue. Everybody ought to go see it once. I'm sorry you didn't see it, Terry. If I'd have thought about it, I'd have given you the exact address. But the German people, the youth, had come over and they'd rebuilt the statue. They were master craftsmen, beautiful artisans. They had rebuilt the statue so perfectly. But it had no hands. They had tried and they had tried and they had tried to put hands on the statue of Christ, and they had no success. God wouldn't allow them to do that, so they put a plaque at the bottom of it. And they said, you are to be the hands of Christ. You are. You say, oh, I can't be the hands of Christ. No, 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 no. I can't do that. But Christ called you to be his hands. He called you to do the work of Christ. And if he called you to do it, he gave you the ability to do it. Amen. I'm going to close with the book of Acts. And I ask all of you to go to the book of Acts with me, please. It's Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. I'll give you a chance to get there. Maybe I've been going too fast or too slow, or maybe I haven't explained it. But here we are, Acts chapter 20. And indeed, I welcome the people from Ghana. I welcome the people from the world, and it's just a joy to have you here. We love you. I hope you know we love you. God loves you. God wants you to belong to Him. He wants you to belong to His church, to His people. He wants you to feel His presence. He wants you to be His. He wants you to be His hands. In Acts chapter 20, the Apostle Paul was talking to the elders of Ephesus. And most of you may have missed something in that. You see, Paul was bidding farewell to Ephesus. And in that same message, he was also bidding farewell to the world. Paul was getting ready to go to meet his maker. He's getting ready to go die. But watch what he said to them. Verse 26. Wherefore I take you to the record to this day, that I am pure from the blood of all men. Can we say that today? Can each one of us say, we're pure of the blood of men? How do you become pure from the blood of men? Because you've done what God told you to do. If you haven't done that, then we're guilty of the blood of men. Verse 27, for I have not shunned to declare to you the counsel of God. What is the counsel of God? Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all things shall come unto you. Yes, the kingdom of God is at hand. It's here. It's not something we're waiting on. You lack in nothing. You say, but I'm not intelligent. I don't speak well. I wasn't born a preacher. That was not my goal in life. My goal in life was to fly airplanes. God granted me that ability. He granted me the ability to make a living doing that. But God didn't call me to fly airplanes. He called me to preach the gospel. He called me to carry His word to mankind. That's what He called me for. It says, I have not shunned to declare unto you the counsel of God. What is the counsel? That we come to God. That we forsake the world. That we forsake all things of comfort. That we forsake the things that we desire to do. And be obedient to Him. Verse 28. Take heed therefore to yourselves. To yourselves. And all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. Pay attention to what God's asked you to do. Pay attention to what He's told you to do. Be obedient to what He's told you to do. And feed the church of God, which He purchased with His own blood. That's what we're called to do. Oh yes, He gave us abilities. He gave us abilities to make money. He gave us abilities to walk. He gave us ability to see. He gave us ability to do all manner of things. Heck, He gave ability for man to go and walk on the moon. I remember my father telling me at one time, he says, you know, son, when I was in college, they told us man would never fly faster than 500 miles an hour, because if he did, they would just disintegrate. let's see, when the space shuttle leaves the Earth's atmosphere, they're traveling at a little over 17,000 miles an hour. He gave man the ability to conceive that and do it. And do it. He gave his servants the ability over demons. He gave his servants the ability to heal. He gave his servants the ability to carry his word. Not by their power, not by their might, not by their knowledge, but by the power of God. Do we believe? Do we believe, or do we hold back? Do we hold back the things from the widow and from the orphan which God has given us? You say, but we don't hold back. We pay our tithes. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm glad you pay your tithes. What do you do with them? But you say, it takes money to do this. Does it? Does it really? Show me the money in the gospel. When you lay hands on a child, and the only thing between you and that child dying is God, do you believe that the prayer will heal the child? Do you believe that? In third world nations all over the world, they don't have money. They have God. And when you pray for them, they trust God and they believe God will heal them, and He does. We could carry sacks of money with us and it wouldn't solve the problems of the world. It would not. It won't cast out demons. It won't preach the word to them and bring them salvation. Is money necessary? Absolutely it is. Let us all pay our tithes. It's absolutely necessary whether you live in a third world country or whether you live in America or England or Europe, wherever you're at. But let us not withhold the gospel from the people. Russ, would you take care of that, please? Would you take care of that, please? Thank you. Let us not withhold the gospel from the people. That's what God called us to do. Let us not withhold it, because God will condemn us if we don't. God will condemn us. We feel so grateful and so blessed that God has given us the message. I do. I do indeed. But He just did not give us the message. He told us to take it. And we have no excuse not to. None. None whatsoever. I could use my heart for an example and say, I can't go. Larry could say, well, I'm black and maybe I can't go. Because maybe some people might reject me because of my skin color or pigmentation. Or I could say, well, I'm old and they don't want it. I could withhold, you know, people don't want to listen to me. Or I don't speak that language, so maybe they won't listen. Or you could say, I only speak limited English, so no, they won't listen to me. Some of the most powerful men I've listened to preach the gospel are men from other nations. And men that do not have the gifts and the ability and the things we have. And they preach it with power. With power. I was blessed to talk to two men that walked from Tanzania to Kenya, through Uganda, because they had no money, because the money had been withholden from them. They had no food. They walked to deliver the gospel. They walked. Yes, they had families. One of them had 8 children. One had 5. One walked with malaria. Did they lack? Did they lack in power? Did they lack in the things that were needed? Or did they believe? Do we believe today? The church goes forth in power. The church goes forth trusting in God. Let us not doubt. I love you. I thank you for your time. I hope you've understood that which God has given. I hope you felt God's presence. I hope indeed that you just weren't hearers, but that it'll touch your heart and you'll be doers of the word. And I thank you. God bless you for your time. And we will close on that note, and we'll close with a prayer. And I'm going to ask Brother Larry if you'll give us a closing prayer. Brother Larry.
Almighty God, dear Father in heaven, as we bring this session of worship to a close, Lord, we thank you for thy Son, Jesus Christ, and for him dying and making this all possible, Lord. And Father, truly we say we love you, Lord, and we desire to serve you. Lord, and I ask that you would be with us today. And bless the heart of each of those that have heard the word, Lord, and that it may become a part of their lives. And realize that truly that which we have you gave. And you have asked us to move out, to step out, and to take this word to the world in your power. Lord, we know that all things and all powers are in thy hands, and we thank you for it this day. And Lord, we ask that you would be with the people here in America and throughout the world. And all those, dear God, that was on the broadcast this morning that heard the words, Lord, we ask that you would bless them and strengthen them and guide them and direct them, and Lord, and continually give us the words and the courage, Lord, to truly believe and truly move and truly step out on you. Lord God, we thank you today. Forgive us our shortcomings and our slothfulness before you. Be with thy people, O God, we pray. In Jesus' name, this day. Amen.
Amen.